This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilley. We're live today from Sterling Limousine and Transportation Services in Wrightstown. Come on, if you need a ride, this is the place to get it for any event you have, and we appreciate them having us. They were the winning bid for the Eagles Radiothon, benefiting the Eagles Autism Foundation. Now, we'll get back to everyone's phone calls here on Trey Turner. Do you expect a different Trey this season? Hugh does. I do not. I mean, this is who I believe Trey Turner is at this point, which is he's pretty good, but it's not the player the Phillies paid for, and I hope he's better at shortstop, and we hope the leadoff situation ignites him here. I'll believe it when I see it. Where do you come down on Trey Turner? Your guess is for Hughes Clues, but right now, let's go to the guest line. Elliott Shore Park, sponsored by Cozy Drill. Step up to the 50. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. Elliott, what's up?
What up? How you guys doing today? I enjoyed the Bryce Harper, Jalen Hurts debate. That was interesting.
Kind of broke out of nowhere.
I actually have an opinion on it.
What you got, ESP? Talk to me.
Yeah, so here's where I agree with Hugh on this one. I think what Hugh, or at least in my opinion, is Harper is never, like, as the face of the team, he never carries the burden of other people failing. Like, if Jalen plays great in a game and the team loses, that's still always on Jalen, right? If Joel Embiid plays awesome in a playoff series and the other players don't play well, that's always on Joel. So I agree, Bryce has not been the reason they're not winning. The difference is he does not suffer any type of criticism when the team loses, whereas the other stars, even though they play well, do suffer that criticism.
So here's the question. Do you think that is kind of a symptom or it's an offshoot of the fan base loves him, the pander-in-chief stuff, or is it just the reality of the sports, right? Like baseball, one player can only do so much. Like, where do you think that comes from, Ellie? Because I agree with, I think the way you said it is true. He doesn't get that. Joel does. Jalen does. But is that just because basketball and football, the star quarterback and player hold more weight?
So I think it'll be interesting to see this year how it works with Jalen, but I believe it's because of Bedlam at the Bank. Like, if you hit a home run to send a team to a World Series after they haven't been on the playoffs for 12 years, you buy yourself time, right? So I think with Jalen, we'll see next year, like, is winning a Super Bowl enough where if they're 2-2 and he's not playing well, is it going to be, well, he won the Super Bowl last year. I think Bryce gets some of that. I don't think, though, it has to do with baseball. I think it's more just he hit them to a World Series, and Joel has not done that, and Jalen just did it. So we'll see next year how Jalen treated.
All right, so hold on. My response to the first part is because
excited for it.
Yeah, well, I mean, Joel Embiid and Jalen Hurts are both just like inherently in a position where they affect a game more. If yes. Jalen Hurts throws three interceptions, that's way more conducive to failure in an Eagles game than Bryce Harper striking out three times, I think.
Yeah, I 1,000% agree
with you. So, like, that's just where that comes from for me.
Right, but and I'm not trying to speak for Hugh, but I feel like Hugh probably does too. But I think how we feel is these other stars, although they do impact it more, they are the face of the team. They are the player that if the team's going great, they get more credit than they should. And if it's not going great, they get more blame than they should. And it feels like Bryce only gets the more credit. Because when they're winning, everyone points out how important Bryce is. He's still only batting four times a game. But when they're losing, it never goes
so right. Maybe, but I agree with that, but I do think a lot of it has to do with, I mean, people who watch all the sports do have like a baseline understanding of
for sure,
his importance 100%. To the team's success and failure, and that's why there's a little bit of a difference.
There's definitely a difference in the importance of position, but there's also a difference in how they're treated when the teams lose.
Exactly. Tell him, speak
but,
on it.
But I, but I think
how much
too.
Is that? Is just it's
I think
Eagles
you just explained why though.
He's the Eagles.
Right.
But
that's what I mean.
They're always criticized more.
But let me
always.
Ask you this then, right? So, like, then why, when the Phillies win, are we all in agreement? Like, look how awesome Bryce is. Look what he's doing for the team. This is amazing. He hit them to the World Series, right?
Yeah.
He's still batting the same amount of times
because,
in those games.
Because with that understanding, when he does go above and beyond, like, what he actually is, like, could normally be capable of providing to his team, when he hit that home run, Bedlam at the Bank, that it was a wow because of the moment, but also it's because when do you ever see the star players on the team being the ones that come through for the team? It's usually some unsung hero that hit 7th or 8th or 9th, and that's the beauty of baseball. But when Harper did it, he transcended that norm, and that's why I think he got a little bit more there.
So I agree with you, right? Like the moment, and like I said, I think Bedlam at the Bank, it's not the pandering. It's not, I think it's literally he hit them to a World Series. Like he earned the kind of grace he has given to an extent. But I also think like they have had really bad playoff failures, losing 6-7 at home. And if I'm not mistaken, didn't he go hitless in those two games? Like
so we looked this up yesterday, Elliot. So, and I think Bryce has been excellent overall in the playoffs. But if you go to games 4, 5, 6 of the World Series, and then games 6 and 7 of the series you're talking about against Arizona. If you add those five games together, he went 1 for 20 in those games.
Right, and I do understand like it's baseball. I get there's a component of that, but ultimately, like you know, he has come up small in big spots, and the Phillies have really bad losses, and he is not criticized to that degree.
So, all right, let's unpack some of the other stuff, because Elliot, you've had a week here.
Sorry, I've been thinking about it for like an hour.
I just think he does get crap for that more than people let on.
Well, yeah.
I would agree with you there, Kyle. I would agree with you there.
Elliot, you've had...
Not as much as Joel, but...
He deserves more. Joel deserves
more.
Sure,
100%.
Let's get to one of your... This is one of Elliot's best weeks on Twitter. I mean, you're having... A week.
Something.
Well, it is. I mean, I just some of these things are
thought-provoking. Elliot's on a heater.
On a heater. Now, Elliot.
I mean, the championship wasn't handed out to nobody. Exactly. Right?
I was waiting to see. Are you going to put it on the chain? I know you're trying to get to a point, but I just wanted to ask. I need.
Yeah,
to
get
put
ready
that
for
chain.
The draft party. The draft party.
I need to see that on the chain. Yes.
Yeah. Draft
I need
party.
It on draft night. Okay. Elliot, let's unpack the first one, the most recent one here. You used a tweet that Tucker put up, Tucker Bagley, about the weather on Monday. It looks like we could have a washout for the home opener if the rain comes in the way it's projected right now. And you used this to reinforce your platform about domes. Now, I didn't even realize you were a dome guy across sports. I thought this was more of a football Eagles thing. We can get a Super Bowl here one day. And while I disagreed, I understood where you're going with it. You want a dome on the Philly stadium, too?
So I don't feel as strongly about that, but like the point still remains that we simply just for vibes play sports outside when we could play them inside and not have weather impact it whatsoever. Like why not play basketball outside?
It's a winter sport.
Right, but I'm saying, like, if people – so football's played in the winter.
Basketball players wear shorts and no
sleeves. Put long sleeves on them. Like, but the point I'm making is, like, it's ridiculous that we literally only – we keep stadiums outside simply because it's like, well, that's how it's meant to be played. That's not how it's meant to be played. That is how it was played when the sport was invented and they did not have, like, state-of-the-art domes. So while I love Citizens Bank Park, I'm not advocating for a roof on it. The third straight year, the home opener is going to get moved to simply because of rain, where there's a very easy, solvable fix to this issue.
But it's better outside. That's why we do this way. It's nicer. Like, you can go for a walk in your house. Just walk around your house, or you can go outside. What's better?
Well, guess what? I can walk in my house whenever I want. I can't walk outside when it's raining. So if
well,
I want to know,
get
I can.
An umbrella. You can.
Yes. Okay. Well, we'll give the players umbrellas and they can play the home opener. But well, like,
but
the point I'm making
happen?
Is, like, why are we allowing rain to dictate schedules of sports? Just think about it.
How
like
often
logically,
does it happen though? Like,
well,
I know
it's about to be the third straight year the home openers.
But over the course of a season, how many washouts do we get? Like 3, 4, 5 in a year where it's really rainy? Like in Miami or in Tampa. You need a dome, Seattle, because otherwise you can't play the sport. They just would wash out the whole season. We don't get that much rain.
So they're still able to play baseball in the dome, though, right? Like they're still able to play it.
Yes, but it's
sanitary. Yes, okay.
Baseball inside is the worst.
I don't disagree with you on that. Like, I agree baseball is worse inside than football is. I agree. But I'm just saying, everyone's like, oh, no, it's going to rain. What could we do? I know. Put a roof on the house, and then you won't have to deal with it.
Well, this is not a house. We don't live there, but I understand your point on that. All right,
Bank Park's a fortress. Come on.
Yeah, it is. All right. You put this up yesterday. It's actually, you were the first person I saw point this out. So, I mean, I'm not sure if this is going to get you Phillies inside of the year, if it's extra Eagles points. I don't know how this all works. But
yes.
And then Jack cited it on Fritz at 6 last night. So you're an influencer here. But you pointed out yesterday that the Phillies led all teams in walks in spring training, of course, spun it back to chronicling Jalen with the interceptionless streak in training camp. So do you think the two are equivalent? I mean, we're reset now for the Phillies to improve their plate discipline the way Jalen protected the football.
Well, first, let me give proper credit to Jack, because I know he hears all on the station.
Oh, did he
I did
point
hear
out
it
to
from
you?
Him, and then yes,
okay.
Yes.
All right,
so,
well,
okay.
I'm glad we got that under control.
Right, I don't need a top 5 at 5 of things Elliot stole from Jack. So here's to the point of what the question was. Yes, absolutely. The Phillies leading the spring training in walks is absolutely 100% meaningful, and I think a great indication of what is going to come. When everybody told me Jalen's interception streak didn't mean anything, it's just training camp, who cares? Well, guess what? He had a career low in interceptions. He almost should have been an MVP consideration. He won the Super Bowl, and then he got Super Bowl MVP. So obviously, a mentality in training camp of taking care of the ball carried over into the season, and I would argue it's arguably the number one reason the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
Got a lot of bass in his voice
right?
today. You heard
well,
that
he's
bravado.
Excited about this. Because it points back to inside of the year. Here's my only pushback, Elliot, and this is not a bad thing, right?
Can I finish really quickly?
Go ahead.
The Phillies leading spring training in walks is a clear indication of the mentality of the team. And the biggest issue with the team is the chasing. It's the chase rate. It's swinging at bad pitches.
Right.
They're not doing that. It's a clear indication they're emphasizing it.
So I don't know if it is. There's no way to spin it as a bad thing. It's a good thing or it's nothing. But to go back to training camp, and we were there when history was made, right? When Slade
yes,
picked the pass.
We all remember, yeah.
We now know, and we didn't then, but we knew some, that Jalen Hurts was up against really good players every day, right? Jalen Carter and Darius Slay and you know, guys they have on their defense that just got paid a ton of money. We have no idea what pitchers they were facing. Like, unless we comb through every box score, I mean, they faced single-A pitchers at some point that maybe were just walking the ballpark because they're not big leaguers yet. Like, how am I supposed to take that and say...
Well, but here's
painful?
The thing. It doesn't matter what pitchers
well, sure
they're
it does.
Facing. No, it
well,
doesn't.
Sure it does.
Because if they're facing good... Hold on. If they're facing good pitchers, then they're doing a good job of not swinging at stuff they're supposed to not swing at. If they're facing bad pitchers, they're facing even worse pitches, and they're not swinging at those pitches. So no matter how you slice it, they are facing pitchers for over a prolonged stretch, and they have walked more than any other team. They're not facing much different pitchers than any other team is, right? So no matter what quality of pitcher it is, they have done better than every other team at drawing walks. And that's the exact issue the team had. If they drew walks last year, I wouldn't care about this. But their issue is swinging at bad pitches. And this year in spring training, they did the best job of any team in the majors at not swinging at bad pitches.
I don't know if you noticed that Elliot has a little bit more bass in his voice since
well,
he won
I think it's
inside
the
of the year.
Yeah, I no, think it's the app.
It's the inside of the year. I don't know, dog. You got a little bit more basic ones. I
did
like
Elliot
this new
brand
ASP.
He
might have got a little
you know,
brand new, man.
You
got a little
you know,
you
wear,
basic
you wear
voice.
The chain and things start to feel different.
That's true. All right.
Elliot been drinking brown liquor.
Uh-oh.
No, it's not me and you at the airport. Yeah.
All right, Elliot. We didn't even get to the loser stuff because there's just so much else going on. What's your takeaway so far? Because, you know, the Eagles have brought a lot of players in for visits so far. I did see that, because the draft is 4 weeks from tomorrow, I did see that you put up one about Jaden Blue, the running back from Texas, Elliot.
Yeah.
I can't tell you I know a lot about Jaden Blue, but I know he's fast, and that is a running back name. Jaden Blue is going to be a good – like, it sounds to me like someone who's going to run off 40-yard runs in the NFL. What do you make of the visits they've had so far?
Yeah, so I think with Jaden Blue, what's really intriguing about him is he's an excellent pass catcher. And I know the Eagles don't throw the ball to the running back much, so maybe it would be a skill that's wasted here. But that is an intriguing part of his game, especially with the speed that he has. You get him out in space. We know they have an offensive line that's good at getting to the second level. So that's intriguing. But I think what's most interesting about using a top 30 visit on a running back is I think there's a good chance they draft this guy. Like if you look at the guys they bring in for top 30 visits, they either end up on the Eagles in the draft or they end up on the Eagles a few years later. So a good shot we'll be talking about Jaden Blue on the Eagles. And if they draft a running back, like the backfield starts to get a little crowded. Like Saquon's going to be here, obviously. We know that Will Shipley's going to be here. AJ Dillon, if healthy, is going to be here. So then it gets down to like, if they draft this guy, and I don't know where he's projected to go, but I'm assuming in the fourth, fifth, sixth, something like that. Like that's a decent sized asset to use, especially if it's more like the fourth instead of the sixth. So just interesting they brought him in.
Well, it is. I mean, and I think, you know, he would fit skill-wise here, like you said. Elliot, we'll pay attention to his visits and where he goes and where he's projected. Appreciate you hopping on. This was a fun one. Elliot, enjoy opening day tomorrow, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys later.
There he goes. Elliot Shore Parks there, who did bring a lot. I mean, Elliot is passionate about the walks. Like, what do you got over there? You looking are you looking at the scouting report for Jaden Blue?
Dude.
Do you agree with me he has a great name? That is a running
It's a phenomenal name.
It's a great name.
Guess what he ran the combine?
4.38. 4.38.
At 200 pounds? Ooh.
And he played in the SEC at Texas?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot. SEC. Ooh. Man.
You win on Jaden? I mean, you've been asking for a back here. No, you want another back?
You know what's funny? I said this way before the draft started. Would they get another running back? They went out and got some guys. To add that kind of speed with Saquon Barkley in the backfield.
Yep.
Man, that would be crazy.
I think it's interesting they brought him in for a visit. 215-592-9494. This segment brought to you by Meineke. When you step on your brakes, do you hear a squeal or grinding? Take your car to a locally owned and operated Meineke. Find a location near you at Meineke.com. Let's get back to the phones here. A lot of people want to talk, and we need to get their guesses for Hughes Clues here. Do you expect a different Trey Turner this season? I don't. You do. Where do people come down? Right now, it's a 50-50 poll here.
Boy, this thing right here is going to come down to the wire.
It is. Let's go to Ken and Cinnamons and talking some Trey and the Phillies. What's up, Ken?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Hey,
what's
Ken?
Up, Ken?
Well, Elliot is so high on his own supply with that with that Insider of the Year award, man. You don't know.
You
what's
heard the base,
of-
Ken. You heard the.
Are
base
you buying
voice?
The walks thing? Because I'm not buying it in spring training.
It couldn't, like, the players. Like, you go to a spring training game, as you know, nobody there is paying attention to the game. The players barely pay attention to the game. And you know, you don't know how many of those walks are guys that are already sent back to Redding or Lehigh Valley or Lakewood. I mean, come on. There's nothing more meaningless in sports other than maybe the NBA regular season than Major League spring training baseball games.
Earlier when this came up, I brought up, I don't even know what any of their stats were. Like, if you asked me right now, did Bryce hit over or under 400? I have no idea. I mean, he may have hit 750. He may have hit 150. I have no idea, and I don't care because tomorrow it doesn't matter.
Well, if you go back about 7 years and the groundswell that Scott Kingery had to be brought up right away because he's already the best player on the team. You know, if spring training counted, Scott Kingery would be rounding out a Hall of Fame career right now.
Yeah, and he's unemployed again, I think.
Trey Turner is who Trey Turner is, and it's he's not bad. He's not a bad hitter. I mean, he hit .295 last year. I heard an earlier caller talk about he doesn't want Trey Turner at the top of the lineup because he doesn't want a 90 strikeout guy leading off. Well, their leadoff hitter for the last 3 years strikes out 200 times a
That's
year.
That's true. That is true.
So, you know, I mean, that would be a tremendous improvement over 200 strikeouts a year. It's, you know, he's not going to change. And even if he does have a good year at the plate, and he didn't have a bad year at the plate last year, if Trey Turner leads off and he bats, you know, he hits .295 again this year and he hits 22 or 23 home runs and he's got a 360 on base percentage and he steals 30 bases. I mean, that's a good productive year, but how much of that is he going to give back with a glove on his hand at shortstop? And that's the biggest issue, is that he is just not a major league shortstop anymore, if he ever was. And, you know, they're already a mediocre defensive team at best. And they're just made worse when you've got Trey Turner next to Alec Bohm on the left side of that infield. It's just, it's nothing is going to change. None of it's going to change.
Yeah, and that's where the decline is more significant. Like you said, the offense is streaky but fine, right? It's not great, but it's fine. It's the defense that's become the real issue. And you kind of even it out, and it's not what they paid for. Ken, what's your guess for Hughes Clues today?
Well, just one more thing. A larger issue is I don't really believe that the Phillies believe it's that big of a problem themselves.
Yeah, and that's a problem. That is a problem for sure.
So a lot of it just feels like lip service to me. So the only guess that I could muster, and my wife calls our daughter this fairly frequently, is Sister Sledge.
Sister Sledge.
That's a pretty good guess. They're from Philly too, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Ken,
yes.
It's a fun guess. Not it. Appreciate it. What do you make of the guesses so far?
Because
you have stumped people, but not in the way. Usually, I kind of have fun with people and say they don't understand the clues. I think you've given out good clues.
Yes.
This is a challenging one.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. A young lady came in and brought us some cookies.
Yep. Oh, that's where these came from.
Yes. And she asked me, what was it? And I told her. And she said, nobody's ever going to get that.
Well, you have two more clues. So yeah. I think we'll help people out. Are you afraid now she's going to call? She's going to decide to call in.
Well,
because you gave away the answer.
Well, no, because she said she's not going to call. Okay. In. She said, I believe her.
I will have to prevent her from getting on.
I'm just saying, watch out, Kyle.
We can't just be giving these away.
No, but it's this was a good one, man, and it's going to be when people get it, they're probably going to be mad at me.
That's okay.
I mean, they're always mad at me. I slept like a baby last night. They were mad at me yesterday for the bad clues I gave.
Pat himself on the back, Douglas. All right, Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Who's up, Kyle? What's up, man?
Terrence, what's up, pal?
What's up, man?
Man, I told Kyle, man, I don't think Trey's going to be any better this year. From the beginning of since we got Trey Turner, I feel like the contract was too much for him. I feel like he's still paying like that, $300 million, and he hasn't lived up to any of that yet. And we know when we first got Trey, and he was turned up in a baseball classic, isn't that the Trey we thought we were going to get?
Yes, remember that? That was right before his first season here, right? That spring training, and he was Captain America. He was awesome.
And for some reason, once he got that contract, I feel like his whole mental has changed. His defense, like, my thing is this. You're not even playing good defense, Trey. The defense is horrible, and you're chasing pitches. And I know we're getting on talking about Harper, too. Like, yes, Harper does fade in big games also. But like you said, Joe, Trey Turner was born here to be that A.J. Brown factor to get us over the hump. And the Phillies knew that. They had a window, and the Eagles knew that. The Eagles, they met their window, and the Phillies, they're still falling up short time after time again. So, to me, I have to see it to believe it. This goes for all the Phillies. It goes for Schwarber. It goes for Harper. All those guys. I have to see it before I believe it. So I don't care about those spring training stats and all that stuff. I don't care about that. Because to me, at the end of the day, like I said before, you guys have to achieve your – you guys are all veterans. Well, what did they say that your prime years in baseball? Was it like 26 to like 30 years old?
Yes, it's about that. Like 27 is the sweet spot, and then around 30 you start to fall off. Yeah.
And this is Trey's sweet spot. So to me, he's declining. Like, you're not getting better.
I agree, Terrence. I agree. Yeah. The hope is that the hope he holds off decline, like he stays at least here for a few years. But he's clearly declined from where he was a few years ago when he was a Nat and a Dodger. Terrence, what do you got for us? A guess for Hughes Clues.
One good thing, like you said, he has to try to adjust some things to do like towards your batting, towards your defense to get better as you get older. Some things he has to adjust to. And this is a tough one. I'm gonna say the Roots, man. The Roots,
Hugh.
Would they kick somebody out of the Roots?
No, I don't know if they did.
Because that's four. That's four people,
Terrence,
right?
It's good. Yeah, but it's
Black
at least...
Thought, Kamal. Forgot the drummer's name. There's like four of them, right? Yeah. The Roots. I got to look it up. Yeah,
not the Roots, unfortunately for Terrence.
It's
but
not.
It is a fair guess. All right, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. Your phone calls here on Trey Turner and another clue to help you with Hughes Clues today. We know you need it. Plus, Dave Dombrowski had a Q&A with Scott Lauber. I want to get to a couple things he said here next. One, I found very interesting, and one, that I found very frustrating. We'll hit that next. It's your calls. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
From upset buzzer beaters, get on all the tournament action at ESPN's Bet Sportsbook. But you can bet the money line, spreads. I can't see it. I ain't got my glasses on. Deep tournament runs and who you think will win it all. All tournament long, new customers get $100 in bonus bets when you make your first $10 wager. Download the ESPN Bet Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code Radio100 to get started today. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.